Good morning. Today is Friday, June 20th, 2025, and the time is 8:30. I now call this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. At this time, I will conduct a roll check. Rosie Morris contacted me to inform me that she will not be able to attend this morning's Audit Committee meeting because of a business conflict. Finance Commission Chair Philip Holt is attending in her place. Philip Holt, are you present?
Present.
Commissioner Osborne, are you present?
Present.
We have a quorum of the Audit Committee with three members present. If there is anyone wishing to address the commission, you'll need to fill out a witness affidavit form and bring it to the front. Public comments on non-agenda items are limited to 5 minutes and agenda items to 5 minutes. All right, the first order of business is the approval of the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on April 25th, 2025. These minutes were circulated to the members in the agenda packet. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on April 25th, 2025?
So move Philip Holt.
Is there a second?
Second, David Osborne.
Any discussions? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. We will now move on to item B. Commissioner Reddo, would you please give us your report?
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. On page 5 is the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending Audit Activities Report. First item is the State Auditor's Office, or SAO, audit. You can see here that it was completed and attached, and it is attached in report here on the pages following this report, this summary of this report here. And the recommendations are summarized there as well. The next item is the DPS Secure Site Audit. That has been completed and the recommendations implemented. The third item is the Cybersecurity Framework Assessment, and that will be discussed in detail in the executive session. And then the next item is the Post-Payment Procurement Audit. That's in its final stages. We provided preliminary response and feedback with some changes to be made, and we'll report in August to the Finance Committee on that one. And then the last is the Thrift Examination Report, and that is still in process. Field work is still being done. And that is our report.
All right. Any questions? Thank you. Commissioner Cooper.
Department of Banking's report starts on page 21. I'd like to ask Wendy Rodriguez to make the presentation.
Good morning, members. Wendy Rodriguez for the Texas Department of Banking. On page 21, you will find the Department of Banking's audit activities report. There are 9 areas to discuss. First, on the very top, you'll see the Comptroller of Public Accounts follow-up to the September 22 post-payment audit. Here, we are just reporting the status of the items that have been implemented since then. We have one outstanding item that is in process related to internal control structure. That is a little bit on hold as we work through our staffing situation. But in hopes of filling a lot of those positions, we will hopefully have that corrected later. The second one is the Texas Department of Public Safety Access and Dissemination Policy and Criminal Justice Information Services Security Policy Review of the HR area. That one was conducted in April. And again, we are reporting here the status of the areas that were identified for improvement, one of which has been completed and one that will be completed by the end of this month, if not early July. On page 22, you will find the internal audits that were conducted this time around in April. Garza Gonzalez and Associates conducted the review accounting process audit, which will be discussed later in the meeting. Overall, there was one finding and one observation as it relates to the non-depository supervision assessments. The finding was addressed and corrected at that point, so that we discussed. And then in the follow-up audits for the trust examinations, human resources, and procurement, there were no outstanding items and no other additional findings on that. The next one is the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, which is CISA, the penetration test. That will be discussed in the executive session later today. And this is a free service offered, and the details of the program are available on CISA's website if anyone's interested. Next, we have the Comptroller Public Accounts Statewide Desk Audit, and this was on Payment Approval Authority and Security that was conducted on May 2nd, and that's when it was released. It's a full report, and that's on page 24 of your packet. The Comptroller routinely does desk audits on various areas. In this particular case, the objective of the audit was to determine whether or not agencies and institutions comply with the Comptroller's requirements for termination or terminated and transferred employees' authorizations to comply with the Comptroller systems. No findings were identified for all three agencies, and at this moment, I will pause if any of the commissioners want to add anything to that.
Wanted to say it was pretty broad for all agencies, and we were all included.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on page 23, the Texas Department of Public Safety Access and Dissemination Policy for SIGES, the Security Policy Review, but this is for the corporate area. That one was completed and provided to us on May 12th. There were two areas identified for improvement, all of which have been addressed and included. That includes updating our procedures. Number eight is the State Auditor's Office semi-directed semi-independent audit. That we provided a management response to the SAO. We reviewed the draft report, and since then, and since submitting this for the packet, the final report has been issued as of June 17th, which was Tuesday. The full report on that will be in the next audit committee packet, which will be in August. Overall, it was pretty positive with some minor recommendations for us to follow up on. And then finally, number nine is the DIR, the Department of Information Resources, that's the Texas Cybersecurity Framework Assessment. We have started the gathering of the information. We had our kickoff meeting on Wednesday of this week, and the assessment officially begins on July 7th. And that is all.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. Any questions? All right, thank you. All right,
thank you, Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our report begins on page 40, and I have six items to report to you, but a couple of them are similar. And you'll see the same pattern from the other agencies, really. The first item that's presented there is a DPS audit on our HR area related to criminal history information and that we might obtain and review. And there's some recommendations for some written policy changes. So we will be working on those. We have already revised those policies to address their findings, so we consider that to now be implemented for the HR area. In the licensing area, the report was a little bit behind the HR area, and they had a few different findings there. They had certainly some updating policies and procedures. They had some issues on our agency access and on the required trainings for certain personnel. They wanted some documentation. We had an issue with identifying a particular request, and they wanted to make sure that we maintain that documentation. And then they have some procedures on unsubscribing. And so we'll be working on those findings and hope to conclude that by the end of the month. Then in terms of cybersecurity framework assessment, we have concluded that process, and those results will be discussed in the executive session. Then the next item is in process is the vulnerability scanning and controlled penetration testing. We have completed an initial scan, and we are doing some mitigation and awaiting a rescan related to that. So that will be coming later in a future meeting. Next, we have the business licensing internal audit area from Garza Gonzalez and Associates. That's scheduled to began earlier this week. So stay tuned. That's coming next meeting. And then lastly is this item related to criminal justice history audit or criminal history audit. And this has been hanging around since 2022 because there was some confusion and we needed some clarification from a previous audit of our criminal history area. We feel like now we've gotten through this last audit, we're going to be able to close this one because everything is now currently addressed in the two new criminal history audits. So we'll be closing that item.
I'd be happy to answer any questions.
All right, thank you, commissioners. We will now move on to item C. Commissioner Cooper.
Okay, so let's just item C, right?
Correct.
Okay, that's what you said then. Okay, so we're going to go over the timeline for the budget, and Wendy Rodriguez, would you please come up and go through that?
Members, on page 42, you'll find the tentative timeline for each agency that we will be following to develop our operating budgets for fiscal year 26. The timeline follows the finance agency's normal budgeting process. What you'll find is in June and July, we are working on reviewing anticipated revenues and expenditures for the coming fiscal year. That will consist of commissioners and agency management conducting that review. Each agency will evaluate its resources needs and carry out the existing or new mandates for fiscal year 26. During this time, the agencies will also be reviewing their staffing needs and related compensation administration. This year, each agency's draft budgets will be posted to their respective websites and the Finance Commission website by July 31st in preparation for the public budget hearing to be held on August 7th. At the meeting, the commissioners will present their draft budgets in an open meeting for public comment. Any comments received are taken into consideration as the agencies prepare to present the draft budget at the August meeting, which is on the 15th. At the meeting on the 15th, the budgets are presented not only to the audit committee, but also to the full commission for discussion and possible vote. Any questions? And I turn it over to the commissioners if they want to add anything onto that.
Nothing other than it's really going to be a busy time for all agencies and all personnel.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. We will now move on to item D, and Ms. Kimberly Lopez Gonzalez from Garza Gonzalez and Associates will present the Texas Department of Banking's 2025 Revenue Processing Audit and follow up on prior year recommendations report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Kim Lopez Gonzalez, representing Garza Gonzalez and Associates, and with me this morning is Chica Cherry, who worked very closely on this audit and the follow-up that was performed that's included in the annual internal audit report that you have included in your board packet this morning. We're happy to be here this morning to present to you the results of the audit that we performed on the revenue accounting process and also the follow-up that was performed from the prior year audits that for recommendations which were not fully implemented from the previous year. The audit field work for this audit and the follow-up began in April. We concluded it in May with a draft report submitted to management for their review mid-May and a final report submitted back to DOB on May 21st. So we're happy to be here this morning to present to you the annual internal audit report, which is found on page 43 through 60 of your board packet. This annual internal audit report does meet the requirements of the State Auditor's Office guidelines, which all internal auditors are required to follow to ensure that the State of Texas Internal Audit Annual Report requirements are met. Page 45 of this report, actually, before I begin, I would like to thank Wendy Rodriguez and Jesse Saucedo for facilitating the audit. We were provided all information in an efficient manner to enable us to be here this morning to present to you this report. So I know they're busy, as you heard with all the audits that were ongoing during this time, but they were able to provide us the information timely. Page 45 of the report is our report to you, indicating that we did perform procedures to assess the effectiveness and efficiency of the DOB's internal control structure and its compliance related to the revenue accounting process, which was limited to the revenues related to the NDS department. So to avoid duplicating the efforts of the SAO audit that was ongoing during this time. Based on our audit procedures, we did have a couple of one comment and one observation that is included in this report. In addition to that, as I indicated, we did perform a follow-up and the status of those seven recommendations are also included in this report. In addition to that, management's responses are also included to those comments and recommendations, which they agree to. And as Wendy indicated, I believe one of them has already been implemented. Page 46 of the report does provide you the summary of the 2025 internal audit plan. If you'll recall, the audit plan was approved by this body here and the Finance Commission on December 13, 2024. Included in that audit plan, the internal audit activities were to prepare the audit plan, to perform the audit of the revenue accounting process, the MSB area, to perform follow-up, and to prepare the internal audit report. Here today, based on our presentation, we will have completed all activities related to that audit plan for fiscal year 2025. Pages 47 through 49 is just information that we are required to include in the internal audit report to comply with the requirements of the SAO's guidelines. And starting on page 50 of the report through page 52, we give you an executive summary, which is the background of the revenue accounting process related to the NDS area. I know that you've had the opportunity to review the report, so I'm not going to go through the background in great detail, but and also because it was performed as of March 31st, 2025, so I know that you have more current information since then. But on page 50, just to point out some information, the table, the second table there does provide the revenue types, the assessments, examination and travel fees, penalties and late filing fees, and provides you with the dollar values of those amounts as of March 31st, 2025. Page 51 at the top of that page, that provides you with the assessment calculation of type by license type, just so that you have some information related to how those assessments are computed. Pages 52 to 54 provide the audit objective, the scope, the methodology, and also the procedures that were performed in this audit. As you can see on pages 52 to 54, there were a number of procedures that we performed, mostly Chica performed these procedures. To get to the point of being able to come to a conclusion on the report and provide the comments and recommendations that are included here. The first comment that is included in this report can be found on page 56, and that is titled the assessment calculation. Based on our testing, we did identify that there was one licensee whose assessment seemed higher, just based on our comparison of other of the same type of licensees. And when DOB did look into it, it did turn out that there was an issue mostly related to the calculation in the MIS area, where there was some, I guess I don't want to call it an error, but it kind of was an error. They were able to identify what had happened. I mean, there was some internal controls already established. It's just that when MIS implemented them, when it went live, I guess that's where the breakdown happened. And I understand that based on management's responses, that what has occurred has what has been planned to the process to address it has already been implemented.
Ms. Chair, just a quick question. If we undercharge or overcharge, do we just credit that for the next quarter to them, or do we actually have to write a check? Or I'm just curious the process. Okay, these are big amounts, I don't think.
Wendy and Jesse, I'm gonna tell you the way I understand it. I say something wrong, let me know. But so what happened really is they didn't carry out enough decimal points. So when you go in, so I think it says 3%, 3.5%. I think the total is like 22,000. And so for some of the larger four, they got a check.
They did. Okay.
Or refund.
Yeah.
And then on the rest of them, it was reduced for the next quarter.
Okay. Thank you.
So it was really close. So to my knowledge, they were, I know back in history, every once in a while we'll have a small grudge like that, but this was, again, not a lot of money, but still it shouldn't have happened.
Thank you.
Yeah, then there were a total of 12 licensees that were found to be affected by that occurrence. And on page 57, this is more of an observation, not anything that was done incorrectly, but based on our observation and based on the assessment schedule, we found that the tiered assessment schedules for the NDS area do not transition smoothly. And we do provide a exhibit there to hopefully try to explain it a little bit better. And I'm not too sure if there will be anything to address it, but we can see that just based on the change in limited activity, that the fees either increase or decrease, but not in a smooth transition way. I guess if you look at example two on page 58, I think this is the easier one to explain. If you look at page 58, a licensee with 199.9 million activity falls in tier six. So when you apply the assessment calculation, their total fee is $10,882.50. When you look at a licensee with 200 million of activity, they fall in tier seven. And when you apply that assessment calculation, their total fee is $10,500. Although they fall in a tier that's higher than the lower one, the lower one is still paying more than that one. So we feel like that's not really a smooth transition, and I think that DOB is going to be looking into this to see if there's any changes that can be made at their next. I think that it can't be done until their next rulemaking cycle. Commissioner, did you want to add anything to that? Because it's a little confusing sometimes to try to explain
it. Y'all remember we raised the assessment or change the assessment, I guess, a year ago. And some of these levels, just as you said, it just needs to be modified, but we have to go through the rulemaking process to get there.
So that was the observation that was made relating to the assessments. And those are the two comments that we have to report to you based on the NDS revenue process. And on page 59 is our follow-up results from the prior year internal audits that were performed related to the payroll and human resources report, the trust examinations report, and also the procurement. So from 2023 and 24 audits, we did follow up on a total of 7 comments, and we found all of them to be fully implemented. And lastly, page 60 of the report, although we have not performed a risk assessment for fiscal year 2026, if we use the 2025 risk assessment, at this point, we would be recommending the MIS and the bank examinations audit for audit next year, as well as follow-up. However, we will perform a fiscal year 26 risk assessment and come back to you probably as we did in last year, maybe around December, to present to you an audit plan where we will recommend the areas for audit, which may or may not be these here. And with that, I'm happy. And Chica, I know I talked and didn't let Chica say anything, but if you have any questions, we're both here to
have any questions,
ask Chica.
Committee members, do you have any questions? Well, thank you both very much for the hard work and the good work.
Thank you.
All right. At this point, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the Texas Department of Banking's 2025 Revenue Processing Audit and follow up on prior year recommendations report as prepared and presented by Garza Gonzalez and Associates?
I'll make a motion, David Osborne.
Thank you, Commissioner Osborne.
Any second. Discussion?
Is there a second? Thank you.
Philip Holt.
All right, any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes.
Thank you. We will see you back here in August for the remaining two agencies.
All right, thank you both.
Madam Chair, can I make a comment?
Yes.
I think this is a good example of all the things we went through about, I think we had 7 audits going at one time. From time to time, when I'm talking with the legislature members, some of them say, well, y'all are SDSI, do you get properly audited. In fact, there was a bill filed that didn't go anywhere. It would have required more. And I think this is an indication. We always have an audit going. I think the commissioner will agree with me on that. So just wanted to make sure that was noted and possibly y'all get conversations like that. You at least have the information now.
And there were some other bills passed, which may or may not be discussed later, that introduced more audits for all agencies. So we will have some more coming up.
There will be more, but this one I was talking about specifically.
Yeah, it was specifically SCSI.
That's good. And I know it is a lot of work on your staff.
But you know, I think generally speaking, the people that have come in, certainly Garza Gonzalez, they've been very professional. And I think we've all learned from the process.
Perfect. Well, thank you again. And Ms. Gonzalez, now moving on to item E. Okay, never mind. We did both at the same time. So I'm going to do another one here. Hang on. That's all the same. Okay. And she's already presented both. Right. Okay. So let me do this following one. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the Texas Department of Banking's 2025 annual internal audit report as prepared and presented by Garza Gonzalez and Associates?
So moved, Philip Holt.
Thank you. Is there
second, David Osborne?
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Osborne. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. And the motion carries. All right. We will now move on to item F. Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to ask for Shayla Wilson to come forward and give us a report on the, we have a number of items. It's been a big day for TFE activities, and Shayla is going to walk us through this.
Thank you, Commissioner. Shayla Wilson, Texas Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. Good morning, members. I will be giving you an update on TFE activities, which begin on page 63 of your packet. I would like to begin with item F, activities of the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund. The third semiannual reports are due on July 31st, and as we prepare to open applications for the 2026-2027 grant cycle, we did meet with the Grant Advisory Committee in May to review and update our TFE materials. And a special thank you to Rosie Morris and Laura Warren for their contributions. As stated in the proposed timeline, applications will open at the end of the month. In September, the GIC will meet to score and make our recommendations. And TFE awards will be announced in November. Our 2026-2027 grant cycle will begin in January. Moving on to item G, revisions to the TFE grant administration and advisory manual were distributed for GIC member review and comment, and they are as follows. General updates to formatting, wording, revision dates, table of contents, and page numbers. We also recommended that an SML representative be made a permanent member of the GIC. We clarified program goals in section 3B, and we removed the appendices section. So we have included a red line version and a clean version of the manual for your review on pages 65 through 106. We also reviewed the grant funding priorities, and we believe they're appropriate, so the staff funding priorities remain the same for this upcoming cycle. So are there any questions before proceeding to the recommended action? Okay, the OCCC requests that the Audit Committee recommend that the Finance Commission approve the revised TP Grant Administration and Policy Manual and the 2026-2027 funding priorities.
Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the activities of the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund?
Motion to approve, David Osborne.
Thank you, Commissioner Osborne. Is there a second?
Second, Philip Holt.
Thank you, Commissioner Holt. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes.
Can I just ask a question to clarify? So that motion says to approve the activities, and I want to make sure that the motion is broad enough to include the revisions to the manual And the funding priorities, that's the next one?
Okay.
That's coming next.
All right.
Because I was, it says continue.
Okay.
But y'all did it in one deal.
We did it all in one thing.
Yeah, so we'll now go on to the next one.
Just wanted to make sure.
Nope.
I got confused.
That's all right. Okay, so now do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the revised Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund Grant Administration and Advisory Policy Manual and 2026-2027 funding priorities?
So moved, Philip Holt.
Thank you, Commissioner Holt.
Second, David Osborne.
Thank you, Commissioner Osborne. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. All right, next is item H, Commissioner Pettijohn.
In fact, Shayla is going to present this as well.
We will move on to page 107 of your packet, item H, and at the top, you will see a chart there that represents the fund balance activity and the stabilizing balance of the fund from fiscal year 2023 through March 2025. To guide grant funding recommendations in accordance with the OCCC investment policy, the OCCC calculates annual earnings from the endowment using a 20-quarter moving average. We multiplied that by 3.5%. And as of March 31st, 2025, this yields a projected earning distribution of about $345,500 annually, or approximately $691,000 over 2 years. So we also included 50% of projected CAB contributions. And to remain prudent, we assume a 25% decline in licenses, which would trend down to 780, which results in a 2-year CAB contribution of $312,000 or $156,000 in each year. Adding to the 2-year earnings of $691,000 and 50% of CAB contributions, the total proposed funding is $847,012, and we've rounded that up to $850,000. So this approach balances expanded grant support with long-term endowment sustainability. Are there any questions before I proceed with the recommended action?
And if I could just interject, you know, we've seen this activity, the credit access businesses have been on a somewhat decline in the industry. So that's why the 25% decline, that's kind of consistent with the patterns that we've been seeing. We want to be conservative, but we do feel like the fund is stabilized. We've been able to grow the grant program to support larger grant awards and maintain sort of the permanent endowment status, but yet fund those larger grant awards. So back to Trisha.
Thank you. Okay. So the OCCC requests that the Audit Committee recommend that the Finance Commission approve an aggregate award amount for the 2026-2027 TP grant cycle of $850,000.
Okay, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve an amount of $850,000 for the upcoming 2026-2027 grant cycle for the Texas Financial Education Endowment?
So moved, Philip Holt.
Thank you, Commissioner Holt. Is there a second?
Second, David Osborne.
Thank you, Commissioner Osborne. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Commissioner Retta, please give us your report.
Certainly, it is on page 109, and the summary is here. I'll point out only two things, that we will be updating all of the MGF or mortgage grant fund materials to reflect the move from chapter 51 to chapter 53. And then the last point is that the reports from the previous period, the 2023-2024 grantees, but those are due June 30th. And then the first reimbursement period is due for the 2025-2026 grantees on June 30th as well. And that's the report.
Any questions? So moving on, the three agencies will need to discuss item J in an executive session. It is 9:04 a.m. on June 20th, 2025. At this time, the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission will go into closed session pursuant to sections 551.076 and 551.089 of the Texas Government Code. For the record, the first session will begin with the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending, and attending for SML are Commissioners Retta, Strategic Projects and Initiative Manager Elizabeth Zamora, and Information Resources Manager Xerxes Pascura. Following SML, attending the Texas Department of Banking are Commissioner Charles Cooper, Deputy Commissioner Wendy Rodriguez, Chief Information Officer Esteban Sandoval, and Information Security Officer Daniel Drum. Next, we will have the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner, and the OCCC will be represented by Commissioner Pettijohn and General Counsel Matt Nance.
Madam Chair, and if I can add one more, Information Security Officer Thomas White.
Okay, thank you. In attendance for all three agencies' executive sessions will be Assistant Attorney General Martin Coig from the Texas Attorney General's Office. And each agency's executive session will last approximately 20 minutes and will be held in the conference room. Commissioners, is this information correct?
Correct.
All right. It is 10:08 a.m. on June 20th, 2025, and the commission is now back in open session. No action was taken in our closed session. There being no further business, this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas is now adjourned, and the time is 10:08 a.m.